Because the true test of a leader is, what does your team do when you're not there? How do they make decisions and how do they act?
Welcome to the Follow My Lead podcast, where we transfer stories and best practices of today's leaders to the leaders of tomorrow with your host, John Eads.
Hello, friends. Welcome to another episode of the Follow My Lead podcast. I'm your host, John Eads. You can follow me on social media at John G. Eads. Today, we're joined by Lisa McLeod, a sales leadership expert who created the Noble Purpose concept and strategy after her research revealed that organizations driven by a noble purpose outperform the market by over 350%. Her best-selling book, Selling with Noble Purpose, has been a game changer at global firms, and her newest book, Leading with Noble Purpose, came out earlier this year. She is the sales leadership expert for Forbes.com. She's appeared on the NBC Nightly News, The Today Show, Oprah.com, and Good Morning America. I originally found out about Lisa and her work through a viral blog post about millennials in the workplace over a year ago, and I've followed her work ever since. Our conversation was real, and as you can imagine, is heavily focused on why having a business purpose is so important. We really didn't stop there. We went to a lot of different places. We talked about what the true test of a leader is, why storytelling is so important in leadership, and why leaders really have to set the temperature for their team. It was just a fantastic discussion. She's an amazing storyteller. She's just a really fascinating woman that really gets business. I think you're going to learn a lot from Lisa. So without further ado, here's my interesting conversation with Lisa McLeod. Just a quick housekeeping item. This podcast is brought to you by LearnLoft, a company focused on developing leaders that add value to their organization and the world. Check out their brand new online leadership programs, blogs, and podcasts at LearnLoft.com. Their brand new 10-day leader challenge program helps you become a better leader in less than 5 minutes a day, or you can run a challenge within your organization by visiting learnloft.com/leader challenge. Well, Lisa, thanks for being on the show. We really appreciate it.
I am delighted to be here.
For people that don't know Lisa McLeod, how would you describe yourself in a sentence, and where are you from? Tell us a little bit about your background.
So I'll do the easy one first. I'm from Washington, D.C., but I live in Atlanta, Georgia now. And if I only get one sentence, I think the thing that would describe me most is the thing that I care passionately about, and that is people being emotionally engaged in their jobs.
Well, I have to tell you what your colleague and daughter said about you. She said, Lisa is unwaveringly passionate about igniting emotional engagement and increasing competitive differentiation. She truly gives 100% to our clients, and that's what I admire most about her. What high praise from a daughter.
That is especially high praise since she's my colleague and works with me. Yeah, she's part of our consulting business.
But I have
well,
to
that's great.
That's fantastic, and I think any young professional, anybody that could have their child say that about them, I think would be excited. So I think that says a lot about who you are and what you stand for. But let's start. Noble is defined as a person of noble rank or birth, and that's the noun form, Lisa. The adjective form is having or showing fine personal qualities or high moral principles and ideals. What does noble mean to you?
So to me, when we were searching around, I knew that we were going to do a book about having a higher purpose in sales. And we had the data. We knew that people that were driven by the desire to truly improve others' lives, by the desire to improve customers' lives, we knew that they were the top performers. They're more emotionally engaged. But I was looking for a word to describe it. And I'll tell you how I came about it. It was actually a story. I wanted to do something on like purpose-driven sales. And then I realized, you know, Rick Warren, purpose-driven life, kind of had a lock on that. And people will sue you if you do that. So I was correctly so. And I was looking for a word. And I actually had a meeting with a CEO of a major company that I shall not name. And she was talking to me about her sales team. And this was my first meeting with her, but I had worked with her sales team for a number of years. And she said she was having a morale problem. She was having a sales problem. And she was having a turnover problem. And someone said, well, you need to call Lisa McLeod. And so I'm sitting there in this meeting with her, and I'm all excited because, to be frank, one of the reasons I was excited was because the CEO called me, and I thought, I know how to solve this problem. And the other thing is, there's not that many female CEOs. So I thought, oh, well, this is going to be a great project. Well, I could not have been more wrong. So she says to me, I started asking her about her team, and she says to me, well, you know, the thing you have to understand is they're salespeople. They're just, you know, it's like a cash register. They're just going to do whatever they get paid commission on. And I had worked with her team, and I knew how passionately her team cared about their customers, and they were in healthcare. And I said, well, you know, that's not been my experience. She goes, no, you have to understand these people. All they care about is the money. And I just blew the whole rest of the meeting because I knew that that was not her team. They cared about money, but I knew how passionately they cared about the patients. And so I came out and I was talking to a colleague of mine. I was just, you know, you have these bad meetings and you just need to vent. And I was like, oh, I'm so mad. I just can't even believe she said that. And I said, she needs to understand that sales is a noble profession. And the second I said it, it was like, that's it. That's the word we're looking for. That's exactly the word we're looking for, because it just captures everything. It captures this idea that it is in the service of others, and it captures the idea that it is something to be proud of and that it's dignified. And it's the opposite of what people think about sales, but it is in fact what drives top performance.
Well, you mentioned about others and servicing of others, and that being kind of at the core of noble purpose. Tell me about a time when you made a difference to someone at work.
Well, it's interesting you asked me that question, because that is a question I often ask people. And I'll tell you a situation that happened to me that completely changed my frame on work completely. It was a good long time ago. It was probably about 12 years ago, 12, maybe 13, 14 years ago.
Well, hold on. Before you tell the story, you actually should correct me. I definitely got that from you, and I wanted to put the heat on you for it. So first position, why you ask people that question, and then answer it yourself. Maybe that would be a good way to go about it.
Okay. So the reason I ask people that question is because it's very easy for business to just become a transaction. But when your business is just a transaction, you are not emotionally engaged. And so one of the exercises that I do when I speak to a big leadership group is I do a compare and contrast. And I ask them, tell me a time when you made a difference to someone at work. And I ask them to compare that to the usual question, which is, tell me what you do for a living. So I could tell you, I'm a sales consultant, and people will go, whoop-de-whoop. And to be honest, I'm not even emotionally engaged in my own answer. But if I describe a time when I made a difference to someone, I'm going to be more emotionally engaged. And you can literally capture this on a brain scan. When you describe having an impact on another human being, your frontal lobes light up. And that's where creativity and compassion sits. It's where problem solving sits. And so when you are focused on having an impact on someone else, you become the best version of yourself. You become smarter, you become more creative, you become a better problem solver. And so I want to be really clear on this idea of noble purpose. It is not like I'm just a servant to everyone. It is truly being driven to have a high impact on others. And so having this noble purpose and knowing that you want to make a difference, you're actually more assertive. And you're less afraid, and you're more engaging. And so I'll give you an example of, I did not have the language for this at the time, but I'll give you an example of something that happened to me that changed my lens on work forever. About 14 years ago, I was doing a seminar. And at that time, I did sales seminars. And anyone who's in that business knows that you often find yourself doing the same seminar over and over again. And it's really easy to just phone it in. And in this particular situation, I had young kids. I'd flown into the city to do a seminar. I'd had a babysitter problem before I left. My flight had been late. I'd had like no sleep. This was back in the old days when people had binders for seminars. The binders hadn't arrived. I had to wake up early or in the morning on no sleep. and try to get them there. So I was just having a bad day. And I remember going into the restroom. I'm in the ladies' room and I'm in the stall. And I'm thinking, I just have to get through 3 days. And you can do anything for 3 days. Just do your thing, be done with it. And I'm in the ladies' room and these two women come in and they're at the sink talking. And they don't know I'm in the stall because the seminar hasn't started yet. And one of them says to the other, "Oh my gosh, I'm so glad to be here." And the other one goes, "Me too. I have been bugging my boss for the last year to let me come to this." And the other one says, "Oh yeah, I'm going to go give a report back to my whole team. I heard this is the best seminar ever for sales." And I'm like sitting in the ladies' room. I'm like, "Lisa McLeod, you're a horrible person. This is like the most exciting event of the year for them. And I'm just ready to phone it in." And it was like a transformational moment for me because I was like, this is their one chance for the year. This is like so important. And it doesn't matter if I'm tired. It doesn't matter if I had a babysitter problem. Like, they're giving me 3 days of their life. I need to make this matter. And it totally changed me. And even though it put more pressure on me, what I realized is the more dialed in I am to that individual and having it matter and be meaningful to them, the better it is for me. Everybody gets a better outcome, not the least of which is me.
It's an awesome story, right? I mean, the impact that you could have over those 3 days on other people's lives, and you'd kind of lost focus in that.
Totally lost
it. It can happen, right? It can happen to the best athletes in the world. It can happen to the best business people in the world. We have a purpose statement that is written on our board. It says, "Teach modern professionals how to add value to their organization and the world." And just having that at the forefront of something you can visually see every day, it gets me excited about coming to work every day. It gets my team excited to come to work every day. And so it sounds like you had that moment in the bathroom stall 14 years ago, right?
And where now, all the big moments occur.
That's right. Most of the time it's in the shower, but it's a great example of how no matter what role you're in or what business you work for or what job you currently have, there's a purpose for why you're doing it. And so
the fact that your team, you and your team have clarity on it, that's what I see in companies. And a lot of the companies that we work with, their purpose statements are, yeah, make the world a better place and be good corporate citizens and make money. But what happens is in most corporate jobs, the make money part takes precedent. Mm-hmm. And when the make money part takes precedent, you mentioned earlier that Elizabeth, my daughter who works with me, told you that the two things that I'm focused on, and those are actually the two things our company focuses on, which is emotional engagement and competitive differentiation. Because what happens to a company if all your salespeople are focused on close the deal, close the deal, close the deal, you will not get customer emotional engagement and you will not have competitive differentiation. Because the only way you create those two things is to have a clear purpose about how you want to affect customers. Because if your purpose is make money, you're just going to be a mediocre company. But if your purpose, if you have like one of our customers, their purpose statement is, we care about delivering amazing travel experiences. They're a large travel agency, the world's largest travel agency. They have 80,000 employees worldwide. And they actually measure how much do our employees care. How fast do we deliver? How do our customers rate us in terms of amazing? So everything from the top, from the CEO who's choosing corporate partners to the travel agent on the phone is always dialed in to will the customer feel more cared for? Will we deliver better? Will it be more amazing?
So they're running every decision essentially past that purpose statement.
Every decision goes through the filter of the purpose statement, and employee behavior is measured against the purpose statement. And see, if you're just measuring employee behavior against revenue numbers, you will get a situation like Volkswagen got on the emissions control.
Right.
You will get a situation like a lot of us experience every day in the consumer world, where it's a very non-differentiated transaction. Employees are just phoning it in because all they got to do is just clock their hours. But if you're measuring against a purpose statement, the purpose always has to be the impact you have on customers. If you measure your organization against that, you get a completely different set of behaviors.
I have to tell this story. I got a cold call on my cell phone on Friday afternoon, like 3 o'clock. And it's a lady that I say hello and she says, "Hello, I'm here to call to take a survey, to give a survey." And she said politics just after, right before I was about to hang up. So I hung on. I answered her questions for a survey for the upcoming elections. And before I hung up and I said, "You know, Mary, it would be a much better experience for me if the minute you picked up the phone, you were really excited about what it is you were doing today and you knew what this information was going towards and it came through in your voice. I would have given you 5 more minutes, right?" And she kind of perked up immediately and she took the feedback very positively. But it almost goes to show that it doesn't matter what role you're in, whether you're in the customer service center or the CEO, if you really know why you're doing what you're doing, you're much more likely to do it much better.
Oh, you're going to do it much. You're going to perform much better. And the ironic thing is I work with a lot of CEOs and senior leaders now. And one of the things that they get so much pressure from their board, particularly in publicly held companies, about meeting the quarterly number, the numbers, the numbers, the numbers. But what we know to be true, and we have a couple of examples of this in the latest book, the Leading with Noble Purpose book, is that leaders who focus on a purpose bigger than money make more money. Companies that have a noble purpose outperform the market by 383%. The data is so clear on this. Individual salespeople whose purpose is to improve the lives of their customers outperform, outsell the salespeople who are focused on targets and quotas. And so at a certain point, these CEOs get all this pressure. It's all about profit, profit, profit. The CEO, one of the things we coach them on is they have to be able to stand up and say, "I know it's about profit, and that's why our purpose is to improve customer lives." Mm-hmm. And what we see, so if someone's listening to this podcast and they're going, "Well, I'm not the CEO," this works all the way down the line. If you've got the people above you telling you it's all about money, you as a leader need to make it about something more for your team. And it doesn't mean ignoring the money, because the money is a measure of how well you're living your purpose.
Interesting. Well, you mentioned
that money is always a lagging indicator.
Yeah.
Profit and revenue is a lagging indicator. It is a snapshot of what happened in the past, and it is reflective of the mindsets, attitudes, beliefs, and behavior of your people 6 or 12 months ago.
It's awesome. That's why we want to focus on the leading KPIs people, right?
Right.
In your new book, you just mentioned, leading with noble purpose. You talk about backstory. Why does a leader's backstory matter? I thought that was really interesting.
Well, the thing about the boss is, one of the things you have to recognize, my father told me this the first day I became a manager. I was 25 years old. I'd just become a first-line manager of Procter & Gamble. I'd been a sales rep. I got promoted to sales manager, and I have to say, I had gotten passed over twice. So this third time was really kind of the make or break time. I finally got promoted to sales manager, called up my dad, who's always, been my business mentor, and said, I got it, I got the job. And my dad says, "Congratulations, you have just become the second most important person in your employee's life." Mm-hmm. And I'm like, "What are you talking about?" He says, "Next to your spouse, your boss has the potential to make your life wonderful or make your life miserable." I'm like, "Oh my God, I'm 25 years old. My team is half, twice my age. I need to give this thing back." But so how does this relate to the backstory? Everyone's always trying to figure out the boss. So your team is talking about you at the dinner table at night. Your team's kids probably know your name. And they're going to try and guess what your motivation is and why you're there. So that's why, in order for you to get them engaged and inform them, you need to share who you really are. So I'll give you a really quick short example. So a client of mine was vice president of sales for this big pharmaceutical company. And he was recruited away and took over as CEO for another pharmaceutical company. And it was, he was about to make his first presentation to the team. So you can imagine, they get a new CEO, everyone will know, who's this guy, what's his deal, where is he from? And he said, well, I think everyone's going to want to know my plan. Yes, of course they're going to want to know your plan. And the company that hired him had fired the last guy and they were having some issues. So everyone's going to want to know what's the new guy's plan. And I said, they're going to want to know that, but I think you should also share your backstory. And he says, what do you mean? I said, well, why did you choose this company? And he gives me all this stuff about, well, the numbers and the potential. I go, come on. You had a lot of choices. He said, well, to be honest with you, it's kind of silly. I said, well, what is it? He said, well, this company makes allergy medicine. And my wife has allergies. And she has missed a bunch of our kids. Like, she had to walk out of our son's orchestra concert because she was sneezing so badly. She was disrupting everybody. And he said, you know, it's not curing cancer, but allergies really affect people's lives. Mm-hmm. And I just thought that this would be a great company for me to join, because I thought, if we can help people like this just experience more pleasant circumstances, it matters. And I said, well, you should tell them that. That should be the very first thing out of your mouth. And he goes, really? That doesn't make me seem unprofessional? And I said, no. You know, you've got all your slides with the strategy and the numbers, but what are people going to go home and tell their wife and kids? They're going to go home and say, you know what our new boss said? He said he wants to keep his wife sitting in the orchestra concert and that the work we do here matters. And so that's why it's so important as a leader to share, like, I grew up poor and I don't want other people to have that. Or even, I grew up rich and had all the advantages in life and I wish other people had that. You know, whatever it may be, like, just share who you are and why you think this organization that you're in matters. And I would share that whether I was the CEO or whether I was a mid-level manager.
Why do
your people want to know?
What you're really talking about is bringing this human element to the workplace, right? I mean, it's bringing this, the blend of personal and professional lives, and part of that might have been, you know, social media, and part of it might be just a new generation, you know, getting to management and leadership levels in the organization that are more comfortable with that. But why do you think so many existing C-suite or executive leaders, at least that you've worked with, have struggled to tell that story? Is it, you know, is it because their parents or their former bosses just never did it? Or do you think it's something different?
There are three reasons. Number one, you just said, there was no model for doing it. Number two, the second reason is storytelling takes a little time. So to tell you my backstory or to describe our purpose and the impact that we have on customers, that takes a little more time. Not a lot more time if you get good at it, but it takes a little bit more time than it does to just forward a spreadsheet. Mm-hmm. So that's the second reason is it takes a little bit of work and time. But the third reason is a little more insidious. And the first two reasons are pretty valid. You haven't seen it done before and it takes time. But the third reason is like the stupidest reason ever. And it's predicated on a false belief that we should keep emotions out of business, which is, you'll always hear people say, let's stay professional, let's not get emotional. This is the dumbest thing idea that was ever put forth in business, because I never hear a CEO say, you know what? I wish my people weren't so excited. You know what? The thing that really bugs me here is everyone cares so much. You know, no one ever says that.
Nobody says that.
But there's this, no one says that. But there's this belief that we should keep emotions out of it. And the reason that that belief exists is because emotions are hard to measure and manage. And so people have this false belief, if I can just get everything on a spreadsheet and treat this like a bunch of levers that I pull and take this human element out of it, that it will be more understandable, that it will be more comfortable. But the reality is, emotion drives everything in human beings too. We think it doesn't, but logic makes you think, emotion makes you act. And so we've seen all kinds of horrible business decisions made because people went back and used logic to try to justify what was actually an emotional decision, where people are staying with something too long because they're emotionally invested in it, where people get emotionally attached and they pay too much for something. I mean, this happens with, you know, billions of dollars worth of deals. But the reality is, the more we can acknowledge and bring the emotions to the forefront, then we can understand them.
Yeah.
Because a business is an infrastructure just like a family.
It's fantastic.
It's the same.
It's so true, too. I mean, it's what you just said, Lisa, it's so true. And I think it's one of the areas that a young manager or a young leader can really differentiate themselves, because if they're able to exert that kind of emotion and getting a team to really buy in to what the vision is of this small team within a larger company or even a startup, you can really scale and go much faster than someone just playing by the logical numbers can.
Oh yeah, because once your team is emotionally engaged, they have a completely different lens on it. Because the true test of a leader is, what does your team do when you're not there? How do they make decisions and how do they act? And you're never going to get the best decisions or the best behavior if you are managing to the spreadsheet. And I want to be really clear on this. The spreadsheet matters. Profit matters. Revenue numbers matters. You need to be on top of those. You need to be driving those. But again, they're not the leading indicators. They're the lagging indicators. And so if you want to make those numbers, if you want to hit your targets, you need to measure to the leading indicators, which are getting people emotionally engaged, mm-hmm. which are, how do our customers respond? I mean, one of the clients that we have is Hootsuite, and they've been really public and allowed us to be really public about the work that we did together. During the time that we were with them, they doubled their revenues over like an 18-month period. And one of the metrics that we put in place was storytelling. Everybody on their sales team gets measured on how well they can tell a customer impact story, on how Hootsuite, as a social media management company, how they affect customers' lives. And the stories are amazing. But everybody in the company can tell those, because we know if their salespeople can tell those when they're in interactions with customers, they will get the more senior level people, they will close bigger deals, and they will close them faster. And so that's what actually happened. That's how we doubled the revenue. But it wasn't until we said, we want everybody on this team to be able to tell an emotionally engaging story, like the story of the time when the state of New Jersey and cities in New Jersey used the Hootsuite software to reach people during Hurricane Sandy.
Right.
Like the time when the mall used the Hootsuite software to engage customers and get them to show up for things. You know, I mean, really good stories. And we knew that if we measure to this, but one of the criteria was, it has to be an emotionally engaging story. So imagine us teaching a bunch of software sellers to tell emotionally engaging stories.
You had your work cut out for you.
Well, they were awesome. They did it. And now they're very differentiated as a sales team. But that's what we mean by, is if you as a leader can do that, and you don't have to wait for the CEO to decide, you can just say, if you're a sales leader, one of the things that you need to do is you need to be able to tell an emotionally engaging story about why you care about this business and how it affects customers. And if everyone on your team can tell that story, that's a leading indicator. If they know how to tell the story and when to tell the story and where to tell the story, that's something that will improve your sales numbers.
Awesome. Awesome stuff. Well, let's end on some fun stuff. What's the best investment you've ever made? Time, money, energy, effort. What's the best investment you've ever made?
The best investment I ever made was the time I spent with my children. And one of the things that I did not realize was that parenting was actually going to be profitable for me. And of all the things you think about parenting, you do not expect it to be a profitable venture. And one of the reasons that, so my daughter, my oldest daughter, had worked for an advertising agency, and she joined the business, and our business has grown quite dramatically since she joined. So that's why I say it's profitable. But the other reason why that was an excellent investment is all the things I read to help my children, the things I read about psychology and conversation and interacting and teaching people how to be big thinkers, that all bled over into my work. Every bit of it bled over into my work. And all the stuff I'd read about leadership ended up bleeding over into my parenting. And so at the time when I was a young parent and I was regularly figuring out how the human mind worked because I had this, you know, malleable creature in front of me who I wanted to, you know, really accelerate their learning, when I was doing all that reading about how the mind worked and practicing talking to them, I didn't realize that I was actually doing something that was really going to help my business.
It's awesome. I've never thought of it because right now all I see is checks leaving.
Right.
But I get it. I get it. And I know it's that's not why you do it. And I know that –
No. That was a real shocker, let me tell you.
Well, you mentioned parenting, and one of my favorite questions to ask, and we just wrote a blog this last week about it, is what's harder, leading at home or leading at work?
Depends on the team.
That's not an answer.
To be honest, I found that being a parent was easier. And I know it's supposed to be the hardest job in the world, but I had the good fortune to have two very easy children and be doing it in very good circumstances. I had excellent childcare, excellent support. And at one point in my life, I had to lead a team or a business that was going bankrupt. So compared to that,
it was easier.
So that's why I say it really does depend on the team. One thing, I just read a quote, and somebody said this in Real Simple Magazine. And this was one of the most genius things I've ever read that applies to any situation you're in. Whether you're leading a team, whether you're the CEO, whether you have a toddler, whether you're a volunteer in a church group. And it was, be a thermostat, not a thermometer. You set the temperature. When you show up, you set the temperature. You don't just measure it and respond like a thermometer. You are a thermostat. You set the temperature.
That's awesome. I'll remember that forever, Lisa. So thank you. You have a couple things coming up. Let's cover them. Noble Purpose Institute in Atlanta. Tell us a little bit about that.
We are so excited. So we work with a lot of major corporations, and we get inquiries oftentimes from people who are, say, mid-level people inside a company who want to try to implement Noble Purpose with their team, or someone who's an entrepreneur or solopreneur. So what we've come up with is we are running a 3-day Noble Purpose Institute in Atlanta. It's November 16th through 18th. So if you just Google Selling with Noble Purpose, you'll get to our website. And one of the buttons on it is Institute. And so what we wanted to do with that, we've got a lot of really exciting people coming. Some are clients, some are people who want to implement this. And it's 3 days where you'll get everything you need to name and claim your purpose, get your team engaged, get the right people on board, present to clients, present to senior management, present to investors if need be. But it's how do you, in a 3-day period, go from a mediocre company to one of those top-tier companies using this Noble Purpose methodology?
Love it. So November 16th to the 18th in Atlanta, Noble Purpose Institute. We'll make sure to put the link in the show notes for anyone interested in checking it out. How can people find the book? How can they find you on social? And certainly the website, we want to send them to the right place.
Yeah, if you just Google my name, Lisa McLeod, McLeod, or Google Lisa and Noble Purpose, and you'll see our website, and there's all the buttons there to connect with us on social. The books are there. They're both on Amazon. The two books that are the most popular are Selling with Noble Purpose and Leading with Noble Purpose. And I know you mentioned that you have a client that's reading, where everyone's reading Selling with Noble Purpose.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of people do that, where the whole team reads it. We've got some videos online to support it. So it's a really good way to jumpstart a team.
Well, awesome. We'll be sure to send people to the right place. And Lisa, thank you so much for coming on. I think for anyone that listened in, think that you are the thermostat, not the thermometer. I mean, it's just it's a brilliant analogy to life and business. And so, Lisa, we appreciate you doing it and look forward to having you again soon. I hope you enjoyed another episode of the Follow My Lead podcast. It's a real honor and pleasure to bring you stories and best practices to help you perform better at work and at home. You can continue to educate yourself at learnloft.com. There's free resource section, as well as old podcast episodes, blogs, and even a free trial of our Getting Leadership Ready program, as well as our High Performance Leadership program to help you perform better at work. Until next time, remember, you don't need permission to lead.